Today's daf is daf Kuf Ted Vav, and we're in the middle of the very fascinating sugya as to what point a woman is believed to say that her husband has died when we have no indication from anybody else that that's the case. Now, the Mishnah made a distinction between a time of war and a time of peace. The Gemara yesterday explained that the reason for that distinction was because in a time of war, we're afraid that a woman may jump to a conclusion, and she's also afraid to sit around and to see whether her husband's wound, which she believes is fatal, whether it's actually taken its toll and he's died, or she's just jumping to the conclusion that since everybody else that was wounded was killed, and she sees death all around her, is terrified to stay any longer, and she sees that he's been shot, she just assumes that it's all over. And therefore, during the time of Milchama, she's not believed. Today, the Gemara wants to know, and we're holding still in the bottom of Kuf Yod Daled Amud Beit, Iboilo, right at the bottom line. Ask the Gemara like this, how about where we don't know that there was a Milchama, but Hechazika hi Milchama Ba'olam, she came along, she told us that there was a war and that her husband died in the war. Mahal. What would be the case over there? Now, normally, when a person isn't believed in a certain situation, where he has what's known as a migo, and migo means that he has an alternative that he could have said that would have been accepted. The word migo simply means since, but it's become a term for this idea that where beliefs, a belief in a person's taina is based on the particular circumstances, and we're totally dependent on him for defining those circumstances. So here, too, she didn't have to tell us there was a milchama. I mean, had she said, my husband died on his bed, and we certainly would have believed him. She's the one who said, well, there was a terrible battle, and he died. We knew nothing about it. So mi amrinan mala l'shaker. Do we say, what would be the point of her saying something which wasn't true? After all, she could have said shalom bo'olam, and at that point, we would never have thought to doubt what she was saying. Now, on the surface, this doesn't seem like a reasonable question, because, I mean, we are not concerned that she's lying, after all. We're concerned that she's jumping to conclusions. So, what's the point of saying she could have said something else? We're not thinking that we need to believe her because she could have said something else. What we're really thinking is, we believe that she is saying what she believes. The problem is, can we trust her because she jumps to conclusions? So Tosfos explains that the thing that we're saying over here is that basically this idea that a woman jumps to a conclusion would be sort of a chazok. And it's an assumption that under these circumstances of war she would jump to conclusions. The suffix in the Gemara here is that since she's being so careful to tell us that there was milchama, so because of this, her concern in getting the facts correct lead us to think that, well, if that's the case, maybe she also is not the type of person that would jump to conclusions. And therefore, we should not necessarily take for granted the chazaka that she jumps to conclusions. So it's not exactly the idea of a migo the way it would be in terms of general beliefs, the way that Tosfos is learning here. Or, says the Gemara Dilma, Kiven de'ichaska amra ben adam, since we do have a chazaka that during war she says something that she jumps to her conclusion, v'lo'ati ma'ale l'shakra ma'achaskate, that chazaka is too strong to have the indications of her precision being sufficient for us to say perhaps we shouldn't apply over here our rule that she would jump to conclusion. As far as the Mashmaut in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah just says Shalom Be'olam, and as Rashi points out, that seems to be talking about that she said, in the case, even though she said my husband died in the war. I mean, if he said that he died, because after all, the Gemara said yesterday, if she said that he died on his bed, even though there would be war, we would believe what she's saying. So the point over here, therefore, is that the Mishnah, explains Rashi, is talking about that he died without defining the circumstances. Since there's Shalom Ba'olam, even though she didn't say Beferish, he died peacefully on his bed, we assume that that's the case. But if there's Milchoma, we would not assume that that's the case. We would assume that she meant to say that he died in the war, unless she says so openly. As far as why we don't say the very fact that she could have said he died on his bed, even if it would be a Shat Milchama, should be sufficient of a Migua. What do we have to ask this case, in a case where it was actually, as far as we were concerned, peace, if she was the one that was Marzika? So Tosfos says that that's really not considered a Migua over here for us to doubt. Because, after all, if we know that there was a war, she figures that we would be very suspicious of her coming along and saying that in the middle of the war, her husband suddenly simply died of a bad cold. So we don't view that as an alternative for her to say. So let's see if we can bring a raya from the following. Tashma. A case where a woman comes along and says, Ishenu aleinu bayit, that we were in the house, and they came, and they burned down our house. I was there with my husband, became filled with smoke. Or, Ishenu aleinu ma'ara, the cave where we were hiding out, became filled with smoke. Hu mat v'ani nitzalti. He died in the flames, and I was saved. Inan emet. She's not believed. Now, the Gemara assumes that it's talking about over here that she says that she knows that he died, but even so, we view a fire the exact same way that we view a war. So she's afraid, obviously, to stay in the house. So she didn't wait to see if he gasped his last breath. And it says over here that even though she was the one who said that there was a fire, it doesn't help the fact that she had the Migo to explain things to us. Says the Gemara Shani Atom over there, it's not talking about that she said that she saw that she died. It's talking about that she said that he never escaped. And so he never came out of the house. Because of that, we can't be mad to her. The Omala, because we tell her, look, a miracle happened to you that you managed to escape. How do you know that a miracle didn't happen to him? Maybe he got out through the back window, ran away before they could catch him, and so on. And so it may very well be that he's alive somewhere. But Enochinami, had she said that she knows that he died, and she saw him die, then maybe we would have believed her. Toshma, okay, how about this case? A woman comes and says, Naflu aleinu adeko havim, we were attacked by a group of Cossacks, or in the Florino Listim, or a bunch of muggers caught us, who made Venizalti. He died, and I was saved. Nemen, it's over there, she's believed. Now, undoubtedly, I mean, this situation is similar to Milchoma. She's certainly afraid to sit around there waiting to see what's going to happen to him. So why would she be believed? The only way to understand the belief is that it must be because she was the one who told us the story of the Milchama, or the equivalent of Milchama, and therefore she is indeed believed with the Migul. Says the Gemara, no, over there it's talking about the case where she wouldn't have said Bididami just because she was afraid, as Rav Edi said, Yom Rav Edi. Rav Edi said that we do not fear in cases of human attack that a woman necessarily has to run away, because isha klei zeina aleha, a woman is always supplied with her own weapons. In other words, so she uses her sexuality as a weapon, and therefore we don't have a chash that she would run away, because she would figure that she could always get away with her life by using her clay zion and wait and see whether her husband is saved. So we don't have a raya from them. Now, because we've already brought before this idea of the fire in the house, the Gemara brings a case which was indeed similar, Ahu Gavra, the Bishile Lule, Idle Nura Beginane. There was a guy who right there at the end of his chasana, a fire bursts out in the chasana hall, and Amruluhu Devesu. So his wife shouts at him, Chazu Gavrai, please, please, save it. Look what's happening to my husband. And then, after the fire burns out, Atu Chazu Gavra Charucha Deshadi, we find in the place that the fire was, there is a body that is completely carbonized, Pista Diyoda Deshadia, and next to him, we find also a hand, someone that had tried to save him, clearly. So, Reb Chiya Bar Avin Lameimar, Reb Chiya Bar Avin wanted to say that this woman is the equivalent of not believe, because this is the equivalent, Hainu Yishenu Aleinu Bayit, Yishenu Aleinu Miara. The same case before, that perhaps her husband escaped somewhere else and is another person. Omar Ravan, not the same at all, Midami. Hartam, in the case where she said that the house was burned down, Lo Kamra Chazu Gavrai, over there she wasn't shouting, save my husband, he's on fire. So Mashenken over here, where she did do that, we have every reason to believe that he was indeed in fire. And therefore, Va'od, I mean, put that together with the fact that we find somebody lying there in a body that's unrecognizable, Gavra Charucha Dishti. We also find this piece to the other Deshadia. We also see that even though he was trying to be, somebody was trying to save him, but nonetheless they were killed. So it must be that this is the husband. All heads up. Mashenkin and the bride, that we didn't find a body. So why should we think that it's her husband? Reb Chiya Bar Avin, when he thought that it would be equivalent to the case of the bride, he figured that Gavra Charucha Deshadia, the fact that we find a body that was unrecognizable that was found in the burnt down hall, is not a reason for us to believe that her husband died. How do we know that it's her husband? Maybe this is some other person that came to save him, Vachilte Nora, and this is what happened to him, that he was killed, and in the end his body was burnt. As far as the other thing, a piece to the other, the Shadya, maybe Nura Itliya, with Yalidbe Muma. How do we know that what happened, perhaps what happened was this person came to save him, the person was overcome, fell down right there, overcome with smoke inhalation, and he ended up being burnt to charcoal. Meanwhile, the husband indeed was on fire, as she had said. And he went around and actually burned, but only his hand was burned. It was desperately burned. And because of that, he's run away. It may well be that he's run away, not that he was burned, and the fact that he isn't here is proof that it must be him. So this is very similar to the case of the bride. We don't have any conclusive evidence, and therefore we should be still chashish that maybe her husband is alive. And the next thing that the Gemara wants to think about is whether, now that we have two sets of beliefs here, we have one that is based on an Eid Echad that we had earlier, where we're going to be Matir Yishalabala Pi Eid Echad, for the particular circumstances and the belief that she does her research. Then we have this other set in our parak of the woman's own nemanus. We see that when it comes to the woman's own nemanut, we made this distinction between shat milchamans and so on. How about when it comes to an eid echad, iboilu? Eid echad, when we have a single witness who was made, and normally we believe, but this single witness said that he died b'milchama. We never talked about that when it came to a single witness. Ma. Do we say that the aid is Naaman? And time of the aid echad Naaman Mishum de Milta David Ligilui, who is the reason that we believe in aid echad, as we said earlier, is that look, I mean, the Torah ultimately gives us modes of belief. I mean, over here, as the Rishonim explained, I mean, we really believe a person who says something, where as he's saying it, the person could actually show up and he would then be viewed as a complete liar. So something like that, lo mishaker, And because of that, we don't assume that he's lying. So putting that together with the acceptance that a woman would not act precipitously in such a matter because of her losses, so we should say the same thing. Hachanami, a that says he died min milchama, lo mishaker, this is something that is going to be found out. He never would have said anything like it if it wasn't for sure. And therefore, we should believe him. Why don't we think that he was saying bit of dummy? Because with a witness, there's no reason to say bit of dummy. The suffix that the Gemara has only is whether there should be a question and maybe he's being mishaker, is the way some Rishonim learn. The Rif explains that the suffix over here is that we're talking about where the Eid said he died and I buried him. So there's certainly no chashasha bit of dummy. If he would have said that he mismade b'milchama, so then, of course, the Gemara knew that we would be Cheshesh B'Hedam. So this is a completely different approach. Now, I mean, it's very interesting because not the Achronim don't take the Rif at face value, but rather that what he's really saying is not that we have a Cheshash that he'll say B'Hedam, but that if he doesn't say that I was Kavarti, that we have to go and do all types of Chakirot and Drishot to see how it is, ask him how he knows that he made, then, that he was made. Then, if he says that he knows, he doesn't literally have to say that Kavarti, that that's all that the Rif means. So, in any event, what would be the halacha? For as the main reason of the Eidecha being Neman is because we rely on the further research of the woman, and that's actually the main reason for the ne'amanut. V'hacha, but Mashenkin over here, where the husband has died in a war, according to the Eid. So here we would say lo daiko minasva. We have to be afraid that in such a case she may actually jump to conclusions and not be Midayik, and therefore we should not believe the Eid. Omer Rabbi Bar Choma Tashma. Omer Rabbi Akiva Kishir Radati L'Narada La'aber Hashana. Rabbi Akiva once told a story of when he had to go to Narada, this was during the time of the Xeris of the Romans, to be Ma'aber Shana, even though it was B'chutz Haaretz. Matzati Nechemya Ish Beitli. Well, Marli, I found a certain man by the name of Nehemiah, and he told me, "Shamati she'in mesinat Isha be'eretz Yisrael al piedachat elo Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava." I have been told that in Eretz Yisrael, most of the peskim hold that we do not allow a woman to marry on the basis of an eid echad. It's only Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. He was the only one that's smart. V'namti lo, and I said to him, "Kein advarim." Indeed, that's true. Omar Lee, so he said, Emor la Mishmi, tell the people there, in my name, Atem Yod'im HaMedina Azo Mishobeshet B'Gayasot. You know, actually, that the country is in bad shape and it's almost impossible to travel. Later on, the Gemara is going to explain what the point was of him saying this. Kach Mekublani Mirim Gamliel Azokin Shemesina Yishal Pidechad. I'd like you to give over in my name that I have a Kabbalah from Rabbi Gamliel Azokin, that we do accept an Eid Echad, exactly as Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava said. My Medina Mishubeshet B'Gayasot. Why did he bother mentioning that? Must be La, that Afa gav the Medina Zo Mishubeshet, Kach Mekublani Shemesina P'Eid Echad. In other words, what he's saying is, you know what this country is like, because it's always as if it's in a state of war. And nonetheless, an Eid Echad is Ne'aman in these circumstances, and that's what I'm telling you over to say to them. In which case, Alma, Eid Echad Me'aman, and for sure it'd be Ne'aman in Eretz Yisrael, where there is no, currently no war, is what he was trying to say. Omar Rava, how could you think that's what he meant to say? Hachi Maishna Medina Zo. Why would he talk about it? You know that the country's in bad shape. All he had to say was, Koma Kom Sheyesh Gayasot Bibayle. And even in a place where there's a war, that I have a Kabbalah that an Eid Echad is Ne'aman. That's what he would have said. I mean, that's a little bit weird for him to refer specifically to his own location. Elo Amar Rava Ochi Kama. What all he was trying to say was, look, obviously I would have liked to go up to be made myself, not stop to tell one person, and that he should go up and quote me as hearsay. So what he's saying is, Atem yodim shemidina zo mishubeshet begaya, so do you know why it is that I can't travel? I can't leave my children in a state of chaos here to come up to Eretz Yisrael in order for me to be made what it was that Rebbe Gamliel said. Therefore, I'm asking you to say it over in my name. But he never was referring at all to whether we'd be Messina Pirechad at the time of war. Toshma, how about bringing a riot from the following case? There was once a terrible tragedy in which there were two Talmidei Chachamim that were traveling in a boat with Abba Yossi ben Simai, and the boat sunk. We see Rabbi Nishoteyam al Pinashim. So Rabbi allowed the wives of the Talmidei Chachamim to get married on the basis of women who said that they died. Now, certainly, to say that somebody died on the Titanic is the equivalent of the milchama. Anybody want to sit around? So we're cheshish, if there would have been the woman herself that would have said it, we would have been cheshish b'dami. And not only that, nashim afilu me'akeirechadah. The question was whether we believe in Eid Echad. Well, no matter how many women you have, the level of their ne'amanut is the equivalent level to an Eid Echad. Vikatani hisi. It says Beferish Rabbi that Rebbe accepted that testimony and allowed the women to get married. So you see from here that indeed an Eid Echad, or the equivalent of an Eid Echad, is ne'aman even b'sha'at milchama. Says the Gemara, come on, v'tizbra. You're taking it on that level, that the Edut was that the boat sunk. Was it not Mayim She'en Lahem Sof? This was water, but they were on the open seas. In the open seas we call Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, where you are in a sea in which you do not see land anywhere in sight. That's called En Lahem Sof. The din overall is that Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, Ishto Asura. We certainly are never Matir woman in a case of Mayim She'en Lahem Sof, even if there would have been two Aiden. Because over there we're always afraid that since we cannot see a place where he would have come up, so it's possible that he was simply out of range of our eyesight and he was saved. So how could Rebbe be Matir their wives in this case? Ela Echidomi must be. What was the case? The Amrei Askinu Kaman. The women must have said that the body was recovered and that we saw it, the Chazinu Lealter, we saw him immediately, because if it wasn't immediately, then it would have been already unidentifiable, as the Gemara says later, because at that point he would have swelled up. So the Ka'amrei Simonim, and they identify the body through very clear-cut simonim. We wouldn't believe just them saying that. We recognize them because we're afraid that in drowning, he may have actually looked different in death. So, okay, but he says over simonim that are reliable, and therefore we accept their testimony. So that means the lava layo samchina. We are not relying really on the women over here, but rather we're relying on la simani. We're relying on the fact that they made this identification, and therefore we don't have a raya about what the din would have been stamming. Indeed, the Gemara ends up without being able to prove this case. Now, once already we brought this idea of identifying a body with marks on the body, we bring the following. There was a guy who gave some sesame to a friend and asked him to please keep it for him. And then when he came back, he said, please give me back my sesame. Amar Lysa, the person to whom it was given, said, Shkiltino. What do you mean? Don't you remember? You took it last week. So the person who gave him said, I have simonim that they're mine, because kein v'kein havyan. They were precisely that amount in these containers, b'chavita rami, and they were inside the following container. So go take a look and see if the ones that you have are not what I just said, and you'll see that you're making a mistake, and you never gave it back to me. And those simanim should be the proof that it's mine. Amale didach shkaltino. You took yours. V'hane achrininu. These indeed match the same simanim, but there are others. It happens to be a coincidence that they are in the same type of container and the same amounts. So Rav Chisda l'maimar. So Rav Chisda thought that the case over here that he was able to give a siman is sufficient to be motzi the shumshamid from this other guy, because it's exactly the same case of Einu Shnei Talmidei Chachamim. Same case as the identification of the dead Talmidei Chachamim, which Rebbe relied on to marry their wives. And we'll never say, we don't. If you have simonim, so then you should rely on the simonim for taking out the mammon as well. And we don't have a chashash to say that, well, the original ones matched, these left, but we've brought back other ones that are exactly the same. To which Rava replied, Amalei Rava, mi dami, how do you see this as being the same? Atam, in the case of the two Talmidei Chachamim, ka'amrei simanim, over there, the type of simanim, they say real simanim, which identify a body, not generic simanim, what's the simanim on sesame? Shum shumi my simanim idve, what is the simanim? So the Vidikamar came, the Kane Havian, what kind of simon is that? To say that what? That there was 1 kilo of sesame. I mean, it's certainly very possible that the guy had the same kilo in his rishos. And therefore we're not going to be motzi momon on that type of simon. We don't even view that as a simon. But now what about the other simon that we're talking about, which was the identification of the container? I mean, if you're saying that we can't rely on that, you're basically saying that, look, it may well be that what's in here is in the container, but it's something else. And the original thing was taken out, and we substituted something else. Is that really something that the halakha takes into consideration? If you're saying over here that the second simon of the sesame is useless, so then basically you're saying that we're chayish shema pinan. Is that true? Michashim and shema pinan? In a place where we know that a certain thing was inside of a certain container, and after a while we find that same container, which has a similar item inside of it, that we should be chosheish. And maybe the original one was taken away and something else was put in. But we don't have that kind of chashash because of atanan. The Mishnah says Mifurash, Matsa Kli V'katuv Alav Kuf. So you find a container that has the letter Kuf written on it, which was the general way of showing that the contents was Kodesh, so it really means Korban, which means that this was a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, to Hekdesh, which is why it was written Kuf, to mean Korban. And if it was Mem, so then the mem generally was used for maaser. And if it was a dalet, so then the perot are considered to be dimua, because that's what dalet usually stood for, which was perot, chulin, and truma that had gotten mixed, and therefore could be had only by a kohen, unless, of course, there was a certain level of bittul that was achieved. And how about if a tet was written on it, then it would indicate that the contents were tevel. How about if a tuf was written on it, then the contents were becheskas, that they were truma, even though it doesn't say beferush the word korban or maaser or truma or tevel and so on. But we have a right to assume that that's the way that they would write. And the reason is shebishaata sakanaya kotvim tuf tachat truma, even though it doesn't say it beferush, at the time when there was danger and the government had ossered with severe penalties for people to be giving truma or any of these other things. So then they would simply write something that was tough, and then they could explain it away as meaning something else, in order that they shouldn't get into trouble if they were caught carrying such a thing. But that means that you have a right to assume that it is truma or tevel or korban, as the case may be. And we don't say, well, maybe it's only a container, but who knows what was put into the container subsequently. Omle Ravina Garvashi, that's not a raya. Velo chayshina shema pinan, you can't learn from there that we don't always worry that maybe what is contained here is not what was originally contained. Because if that's what you think, game is safer. Go ahead, read on. Rabbi Yossi Omer, afilo matzah chavit, v'katuv alav truma. Forget about tov. Now maybe tov stands for the Sefer Torah that was shipped in it a week before. I don't care if it said truma b'feirush, it says over here, on the container. Harei l'chulin. Why should we assume that the contents, the current contents, is the truma that is referred to on the cover of this koi? So we go according to the Rov of Perot. Rov of Perot are not truma. Why should we think this is truma? Obviously there were truma in it at one point, but why should we think that what's in it is still truma? Shani Omer, I have every right to say that shtakara yamalei truma. Sure, last year this was full of truma. Now what does that have to do with what's in it now? Upina, and we took all of the original Perot out, and there's no truma in it now, and this is something that's completely different. You see, according to Rabbi Yossi, we are tailor that something was removed even to say lakula. I'm certainly not going to say that ad kedei kach, that we disagree with them, that according to the Tanakhama, there's absolutely no chashash. And according to Rabbi Yossi, we take for granted that it was. I mean, that's just... it's too far-fetched of a machloket. It's such an extreme. Okay, Ella, so you've got no choice to say, but that everybody, the Kuleyam, everybody agrees that, of course, Hashin and Shema Pinan. Why wouldn't we assume that there's good grounds for saying that this is not the original contents? But Hocha, in the case where we were talking about finding a container that has on it a letter to indicate its contents, Hocha Miflege, Tanakam and Rav Yossi are arguing in this, my server, the Tanakama, holds that since it has the Ot Kuf in it, or the Ot Tet in it, and so on, in Ita de Pinahu, had the contents been removed, Nichbar Havikofa, so he certainly would have scratched out the letter that's on it in order for people not to make the mistake of thinking that what's inside is indeed true, and so on. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, V'irach Rabbi Yossi holds that this doesn't mean anything, because we could say, look, I mean, it could be his intent was to cross it out, and then he didn't get around to it. Inami, I mean, he simply forgot. Maybe the reason he didn't cross it out is because it's simply for lepanchayo shavke. He dafka left it that way in order that if he leaves it in his trunk and somebody wants to come and steal it out of the car, that they should indeed think it's truma. There's another similar case in which somebody comes now to tell us that a certain person with the name of the husband of a woman is dead. And the question is, do we have to be choshesh for another person with exactly that name? So Yitzchak Resh Galuta, Barach Teder of Bibi. So we have here a nephew of Rav Bibi, whose name is Yitzchak, who became the Resh Galuta. Ve'ka'azel mikortova laspamia v'shochiv. He was traveling from Cordova to Spain, and there's a city there, and he died in Espamia. Shilchu mehatam, they sent from there, from Espamia, of Yitzchak Resh Galuta, barachati to Rav Bibi. So this message now, this telegram arrives back at home. So the question over here is that the Gemara wants to know is, look, I mean, is that a simon? Michashino the Trey Yitzchak? Even if we never heard of another guy in Kotova who was called Yitzchak, and certainly somebody that had no Yitzchak that had this entire title attached to him and so on, So, what would be the halacha if there's somebody else, perhaps, b'chozot? Hello? Or do we say that since there never was a report of someone else that could possibly have fit this description, so we can rely that indeed the telegram refers to the Yitzchak Reish Galuta, the husband of this particular individual, this woman. Abaye Omer Chashin, and Abaye says, look, how do we know that there wasn't another person with the same name, or perhaps somebody came here with the name of Yitzchak Reish Galuta? Because Reish Galuta is a family name, not as that he was the Reish Galuta. He went to Espami and died. Rav Amar Al Chashin, Rav says, why should we be Choshesh? If we don't have any chazaka that there was another person by that name, so then we can assume that this name refers to the individual that we're looking for. Omar Abaye, let me prove to you that we do have to worry about two individuals holding the same name. There was a get that was found in the street in Harda. And in that get it said, Bitsat Kalonia Mata, in the city of Kalonia, this get was written, and in it, it says how Anna Androni Nai from Naharda, so this now person by the name of Androni Nai from the city of Naharda, Patrit Vitarechit Yat Plonit Intati, that I have been puter and sent out Plonit, my wife. And now this woman is standing here in front of the court and wants, based on this get, to marry somebody else. Shmuel's father sent this woman to the Bezdin of Rav Yehuda Nesia to see whether you can be somech on this get, to be matir, the wife of a fellow named Andre Lenoy that we knew, or must we worry about maybe having somebody else with that name in town? And the Andre Naloy that we do know, his wife is sitting here in the Beit Din, maybe never wrote a get. V'sholachei Rabbi Yehuda Nesia sent a message. Tibadek Naharda Kula. The entire city of Naharda has to be checked to see if there is someone else with that name. So you see that even though we don't know that there exists someone with that name, we have to worry that there might be, and we can't give the woman a get. That means we can't be matir the woman from basically being an aguna, just because we have an edus that a certain individual with that name died. It could be somebody else with the same name. Whereas Rava Omar, Rava on the other hand says, no, we are not chayesh. Now, Baya's raya is not much of a raya, because im ita, if indeed the reasoning behind Rav Yehuda Nesia is this, that indeed we have to be cheshish. So why did he say, check Narda, yibadei kol olam? I mean, why doesn't he have to check the entire world? Maybe somewhere in the world there's someone by that name who once upon a time lived in Narda by the name of Andra Nanlai, and this is his get. Ella must be that actually there is no chashash at all, really. Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, only Mishum Kvodo de Avua de Shmuel, he, because of the cover that he felt was due to Shmuel's father, who had sent this big shaila, which he felt was really not even a shaila at all, so who de Shalach Lahak? He sent a message like that in order that it should be clear that Avu Ad Shmuel didn't just send a stupid question, and that it wasn't really that everybody knew the answer to this, but that indeed research needed to be done.